What up, Long Beach? Happy winter playoff season, and welcome back to our weekly podcast here at your home for everything local sports. As always, I'm JJ Fiddler, and across the table, he's Mike Garabasio.
This episode of What Up, Long Beach is brought to you in partnership with the Long Beach Post. We are in the Post's office right now in downtown Long Beach. They are the sponsors of everything we do at the562.org. In addition to What Up, Long Beach, we do a five-minute video show called The Show, which is the best highlights from around the city in the last week. We're also debuting this week on the show a play of the week for the first time, which is something I'm really excited about going forward. So definitely be sure to check both those out. We also have our weekly high school and college wrap-ups that we do for the Post. Obviously, those talking about the same thing we're talking about on the show today, which is the winter playoffs.
That's right. This episode of What Up Long Beach is just a giant winter playoffs preview for your local favorite high school sports teams, basketball, soccer, water polo, and wrestling, getting ready for the postseason. And we're going to lace your boots up coming up right now.
Scrolling through Twitter earlier today, something I do
Shocker.
From time to time, as JJ is aware, and I got a mention that I really enjoyed, which is, apropos of nothing, this is a tweet from someone who doesn't even follow us.
Okay.
Someone had posted, Naples Rib Company greater than Lucille's, and someone else had quote tweeted it and said, I'm Mike and I'm JJ, brought to you by Naples Rib Company.
Nice.
And I had like 15 retweets, and again, the dude doesn't follow us. It's not even like a fan of the 562. It's just someone who's like, oh, Naples Rib Company, those sports videos from Mike and JJ.
Always.
I know that reference.
Always brought to you by Naples Rib Company.
That's how long Naples Rib Company has been sponsoring everything the two of us do. That's why we ask you to support them, because they've supported everything we've done for so long. So get down to Naples Rib Company, maybe show them the tweet, and have a delicious dinner.
Like we do every week, it's time for the Oh the Week segment. Questions, athletes, games, quotes, lists. We've got it all in our Oh the Week segment when it comes to Long Beach sports. We're going to get right into it because the question of the week is basically the theme of the entire show. When do the playoffs start, and is anybody going to win a championship?
They start right now.
And maybe.
And you know what?
There's a few teams out there with a track to a championship.
JJ, we're in the middle of a heated Democratic primary. Future of the nation's at stake. Wash the doubt from your chest.
Okay.
We're definitely winning some championships this winter.
Some, he says. Multiples. If you're doing the over-under at 1.5, Mike is taking the over.
I'm taking the over.
Okay. What's the first team that pops into your head when you think winter championship? Who's got a chance?
I think it's a sport more than a team, but I think when I look at girls basketball,
yeah, obviously,
I think Long Beach Poly girls have a very good shot at it. They're number 4 in the open division. They have already beaten the number 1 and number 2 teams in that division. Really, for me, just a question of how healthy they can get in order to take a real good run at those teams again. Milliken, number 4 in Division 2AA with a very good chance. A much more balanced team than you'll usually see in that division. They have a number of different players who can score on any given night.
Yeah.
And then maybe, even though they are tied for second place and they haven't won a CIF championship in I don't even know how long, maybe the biggest lock to win a championship the whole winter, I really think the Wilson girls basketball team, led by Ashley Hawkins, with a number of other really good role players on that team, they're number 1 in their division in 3A. It's 3A or 3AA. I can never keep the A straight. They're number 1, and they're number 1 for a reason, because Ashley Hawkins is a better scorer than any other team has in that division. And they've won some really big games. The win they had over Milliken 2 weeks ago, I think, shows that they can play with an experienced, talented team. Milliken had only lost to Long Beach Poly in the entire season at that point.
Right.
I really think that Wilson team has a really, really good shot. They're going to open up on the road, which is actually great for them. They're only going to Marina, so it's not a super long road. And then second round, quarterfinals, semifinals, very good shot to get 2 of those 3 games at home. So you could potentially go beat Marina and then just have to go 2-0 at home and win 1 road game to get into a championship.
That's not too bad. I'm looking at some soccer teams and specifically local league champions. The Long Beach Poly boys, who just won their first Moore League title in 15 years. We've seen what Division II in CIF Southern Section boys soccer looks like. We watched Cabrillo go through the whole thing last year.
It's
so we know what it takes.
It's more than a 1 division step down from Division 1. It's an exponential step
absolutely.
Down.
Absolutely. And with a scorer like a Kenny Barnaby, with a goalkeeper like Griffin Welch, guys who can take games over with their physical presence. There's not a lot of teams in Division 2 who have guys like that. Pauly has guys like that. That's going to be fun to watch them in that division. And I also like St. Anthony's chances. The girls down there in Division 5, they won their second straight league title. And they're just like a happy-go-lucky bunch. You know, that's what they said in the preseason. In our preview, we were talking about how they were kind of a goofy-looking group.
I think they
enjoyed having a good time. And that's kind of important in the playoffs, man. You got to be loose.
I think there's two types of teams that we've seen win CIF championships. One of them, a team full of killers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to go to your gym. I don't even want to play at home. I don't want my mom to make the game. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to go to your place and run it straight through your face and win the game.
Usually a team that has a guy or a girl that you're like, they're going to play at the next level, possibly the next level.
For sure. And they're bringing their teammates up with them, right? They've got that united front. The other thing is, and we've seen plenty of teams win CIF championships with this, the exact mentality you're talking about from the St. Anthony girl is like, I like soccer. Soccer is fun.
I like my friends. My friends are fun. I like to have fun with my friends playing soccer.
I really do think, like, and anything in between those or the wrong mix of those types of personalities can be disaster in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But those two polar extremes both work.
Yeah, and there's a good chance that the coach who is coaching that team, the happy-go-lucky team, has had one before.
Right.
And the coach that's coaching the good, I've got one great player who picks up my team has had one before, because it takes experience.
You
got to know how to deal with those two different groups to be able to actually get the best out of them when it counts the most. And how many times have we talked to teams in December and January here in the winter season for local high school sports, and they're like, well, we're not quite there yet. We're trying to build, because the winter season is so long. This thing starts at the end of November, and we're just starting the playoffs right now, and they're very long playoffs. Both soccer and basketball have state playoffs, so we're going to be covering this thing deep into March.
We could be covering these teams for another 6 weeks.
Those seasons are so long, you can't peak early. You can't peak in January. It's impossible to win a championship by peaking in January. So it's interesting to see how these coaches are dealing with it. And usually, as we've seen in girls basketball, for example, with Carl Buggs, it's the coaches who have experience who get their teams the furthest in the playoffs, when maybe sometimes you might not be expecting that from them.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And I just want to drop one quick plug. This whole podcast, obviously, in part, is a plug for the coverage we've got at obpost.com and the 562.org. But I really want to encourage everyone to go to the 562, because the amount of coverage we're going to have this week is nuts. Like, I think we are staffing like 15 games or something like that. It's going to be a ton of videos. We're going to have each day a schedule of that day's playoff action so you can follow along with us. Obviously, we'll have live updates on Twitter. But JJ and I love the playoffs. I think I made a comment a couple years ago that you agreed with, that it was like every year the regular season gets longer and I get more excited for the playoffs. Like, it's harder to care about first round league basketball and soccer games for me every year, but the playoffs, it's always like, there's just a adrenaline rush of that win or go home. Everyone's like, every night you stay alive, that field gets smaller. Like, there's just a real knife's edge excitement to me of this time of year.
If you work in sports, this is what you work for.
Right.
This is what you've been waiting for all year, since the last whistle or last play of the last championship game of last year. You've been waiting for the playoffs to start again, because that's the best. And it's where you want to bring your A game. Like, it's no coincidence that I start writing more features right at the end of the regular season. Because playoffs are coming, baby. Bring your A game.
You got to get ready.
Bring your A game.
For sure.
Before we get there, talking about the games this week, we've got to talk about the games last week through our Athletes of the Week. Congratulations to our AOT Dubs, as always, brought to you by Naples Rib Company. And we're going to start on the wrestling mat, where it was Milliken versus everybody at the Moore League Boys Wrestling individual finals last weekend.
And Milliken won.
And Milliken definitely won. They had a wrestler in all 14 matches. Now, let's break this down real quick. We will get to our Athlete of the Week in just a second. But in wrestling, there are 14 weight classes, all the way from 106 to heavyweight. So when you do a wrestling meet, everybody wrestles. So when you're at the individual finals, everybody who is at 106 wrestles, and then at the end of the meet, you wrestle the 106 championship. So you're wrestling all the championships in a row. It's a really cool event because somebody is getting a title every, like, 5 minutes.
Right. Same thing we love about the swimming and the track finals. It's every event is a championship event.
So then you count it up. Milliken's got a wrestler in all 14, and they win 11 of them. 11 is tying a record. 14 is the record for Milliken and the Moore League for how much one team had representation in the individual finals.
So they tied the record.
Incredible. Well, yeah, you can't have more than 14 because it's 14.
Right, yeah.
So Trevor Thompson, coach's son, Marshall Thompson's son, the junior absolutely balled out. He got a pin in about 44 seconds at 126 to win his third consecutive title. He's going to go for the four-peat as a senior next year. But before they get there, Millikan Rams have some unfinished business in CIF. As a team, they lost at Fountain Valley in the team dual meet championship to Fountain Valley by 1 point.
They missed the CIF championship by 1 point.
A single point. So they were very motivated at the individual finals. They're going to be very motivated at the CIF individual finals this weekend. So we'll have the results at the 562.org. Shout out to all the wrestlers. We have coverage of the individual final. And we're going to be talking more about wrestling and some of the other matches that were really exciting at Lakewood High School over the weekend on the show, your weekly 5-minute rundown of all the top local sports stories.
I just wanted to compliment you for the job you did on the wrestling coverage. It's really difficult covering those events. You and I both had to do that solo over the years, and you just always feel a little bit like your head is spinning around in a circle. And
It's a lot of info.
Yeah, you did a great job of breaking it down. Like, I love that you had the separate write-ups on each weight class so I could just kind of scan through and be like, okay, this kid. Just because I like to – you're covering it. I don't need to know everything that happened, but I like to – if I run into a kid or something, I like to know, like, oh, this guy was a league champion. You know what I mean?
It was also a much easier way to see how dominant Millikan was.
Absolutely. Our other athletes of the week are all basketball players. It was a pretty big week for Long Beach basketball last week. Makai Williams from St. Anthony, the sophomore. Alan Kavanagh says he thinks Kai is going to end up being the best pure scorer he's had in his time at St. Anthony. They've had some pretty good scorers. But Makai had 9 of his 12 points in the fourth quarter of their league championship game against Bishop Montgomery last week, including 2 3-pointers. That tied the game and then put them up. Huge game from Makai. Going from a sophomore to a senior, Long Beach Poly Cal State Fullerton signee Ashley Lewis helped the Jackrabbits clinch a 14th straight Moore League championship last week. She had 17-10 against Wilson and 10-15 against Millikan. She'll be a big part of everything they're doing in the playoffs, obviously. And then back to a sophomore, probably the surprise of the year, perhaps in all of the winter sports for me. Poly has their big man, Solomon Jones, is no longer with the team, and they're going into a league championship game at Millikan, and you're thinking, wow, that's a pretty big blow. The kid's not available for the game. He's not going to play in the game. So they have a dude who'd been out with an injury for the entire year, JJ, a sophomore, Rafael Cruz III, steps up and ends up scoring 16 points for Poly in what ended up being a pretty comfortable win over Millikan in that championship. Definitely didn't see that coming. And in fact, when the kid was suited up, I looked at Poly coach Shelton Diggs and I was like, oh, is he going to play tonight? Because he's been telling me, hey, this kid's really good. I saw him play for like 10 minutes when Poly played at the Bosco tournament over the summer. But yeah, he's pretty good. That sophomore class over there is unreal.
We love stories like that, especially at the end of the season and into the postseason. That brings us to our games of the week. Obviously, playoffs is what we're talking about. Soccer, basketball, water polo. I already mentioned that wrestling is doing their individual championships this weekend. The playoffs kind of start today. We're recording this a little bit early this week because we want to make sure we get you the playoff previews for all of these teams. They start today, Tuesday. Millikan's going to be at home. Millikan, the only home team for local girls water polo.
Yeah, Millikan will be hosting Marymount tonight. I'm going to be at that game. I'm very excited for that. The only other game going on Tuesday is the Lakewood boys basketball team, and electric scorer Bernard Johnson is going to be on the road against Tustin. Bernard dropped 35 on Poly a couple weeks ago, so I'm guessing he's going to be able to get something done at Tustin. And very excited to see how both of those teams do, because I think I'm hoping we're starting the playoffs off with a pair of wins tonight.
And when you're in one of those lower level brackets like that and you're starting on the road, it's actually better. Because if you can win on the road, which you're going to have to if you want to make a playoff run, everybody has to win at least one road game. If you can get that out of the way in round one, you possibly can host the next two games
at home. You can possibly host the second round
and then not have an actual road game until like semis.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's nice. I haven't looked through all the pre-flips yet, which are always so critical, obviously, when we're talking about these. But it's big time.
But the pre-flips, you kind of have to look at after round one, because a lot of the teams that should win who lose are the ones that end up ruining your chance
for sure
to be at home 2 weeks in a row.
Yes, absolutely.
Or two games in a row, I should say.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's Tuesday. Wednesday, jam-packed. Wednesday, basically the reason why we're recording this show on Tuesday.
Yeah. It's
because we're going to be out and about on Wednesday.
Wednesday's boys' day. It's boys' basketball and boys' soccer. It's also girls' water polo. But for basketball, Polly and Milliken both going to be at home, the Comore League champions. Both of them, I'm excited to see how both of them do. I think the playoffs, you and I have talked about this, the last time the Wilson basketball team made a really good run in a high division was with Mike Wilder. Mm-hmm. I think anytime you can roll off the...
and Joel Petonia.
Yeah, exactly. But you know,
one of those guys is a professional athlete.
Yeah, good point. Mike, more important to the basketball team, Joel, a little bit better athletic career. I think anytime you walk into a playoff game, and it's limited prep, maybe you've watched a little bit of film, whatever else, and you've got a Peyton Watson or a Rob Diaz, I just think that's better than having, hey, we're a team that really, like, trusts each other and, you know, anyone can score on any given night. I think having that guy that, like, hey, I'm going to mark off 30 points, and then I just need to figure out where my other 30 points are coming from, I think that gives you such a huge boost. And I think both those dudes have shown that they'll be willing to willing and able to step up in big moments. So exciting for me that both those guys get to start at home. Tough draw for soccer where most of the teams are on the road.
Most of the teams are on the road, but like I said, the night games here, there's a 5 o'clock game, Long Beach Poly hosting Redondo Union at home, and then Milliken is going to be hosting Downey at Veterans Memorial Stadium at 7 p.m. Like I said, that Long Beach Poly team in Division II, I like their chances. I like their draw. I like where they're at, like, emotionally, physically in the season. You know, they've got a few knocks, but no huge injuries that are lingering from the latter part of the season, where I felt like they were playing their best soccer, so it didn't take it out of them. They've obviously got the momentum riding high off that league championship. They're taking on a Redondo Union team that averages almost 3 goals per game, so this could be a high-scoring one, which, luckily, Long Beach Poly has shown they can win those games. They've won high-scoring games in the Moore League, and the Moore League is a grinded-out league. But guys like Kenny Barnaby and Goodman and Brown, they've gone through the ringer when it comes to high-scoring games. So I like their chances there, even though Redondo Union has won 4 of their last 5. So it's 2 hot teams, which I think should make for a really entertaining game. And then you've got Milliken hosting Downey at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Mike and I are pretty familiar with Downey. We covered the San Gabriel Valley League when we were covering sports for the other newspaper here in town. And Downey is 2nd in the SGVL this year, so it's a battle of 2 second-place teams.
It's kind of similar. They're kind of similar to Milliken. They're kind of similar to Milliken, though, in that they both finished 2nd, but they both have that kind of pedigree where it's like, I don't know, they're gonna come in ready for this game.
They both finished 2nd, 1 result away from being a league champion.
Right.
I think is the best way of phrasing that. Because in boys soccer specifically, it's like, sometimes who knows, man. Sometimes it's literally 1 goal that can shift anything.
For sure.
Those 2 games are the games at home on Wednesday. The games on the road, Cabrillo at Jay Serra. Jay Serra's good, man.
Cabrillo had a great year last year.
I'm going to get into this in a second. Cabrillo had a tough draw going from Division 2 to Division 1. Because you got to go to Division 1 to play a Jay Serra team that averages 4 goals per game. Jay Serra has outscored their opponents 64-16 this year. Cabrillo, from Division 2 to Division 1. Didn't even win the championship in Division 2 last year. You know who did win the championship in Division 2 last year? Arlington.
Yep.
And that's where Jordan is traveling in the first round of Division 2. So you got to be thinking, how is Arlington still in Division 2?
Because their previous year wasn't as good as
Cabrillo's. After winning the championship in 2019. That's what you would think, Mike. They made the quarterfinals in Division 2. In 2018.
It's not about how far you go in the playoffs.
But this is the team to beat in Division 2 is what I'm saying.
For sure.
Arlington loves Division 2.
Right, yeah.
And can't get enough of Division 2.
And they'll be in Division 1 next year.
Cabrillo would love to be down there with them is all I'm saying.
Don't be so good. Schedule worse teams and perform more poorly against them. You know
Jordan
I mean?
At Arlington and then St. Anthony going to host Milken Community at Clark Field. All of those games are on Wednesday. Boys soccer, been so exciting. I'm sure we're going to get some more exciting results from them. We go to Thursday, where we've also got a jam-packed schedule and more hoop.
I'm super excited for our girls' basketball games. We already talked up top about how the championship expectations I've got for them. The home schedule on Thursday is a little bit light. Milliken will be at home. I'll be at that game. Wilson, as I mentioned, is going to be at Marina. St. Anthony... very interested to see how that team does. They're in the same division as Milliken. And then I think we're going to talk about the open division teams a little bit later, but the St. Anthony boys and the Poly girls are going to play Friday, Saturday. because the open division, there's less teams, there's less games, so they get to space them out. I like that because it means your best teams get more time to prepare for each other. So St. Anthony will be at home, or will be at Etiwanda on Friday. The Poly girls will be home against Rosary, which I believe is a team you covered them against last year.
Yes.
That Rosary team. They've beaten them already this year. I know they're very eager to get a win in that game. So they'll be hosting Rosary Saturday at 7.
Rosary classically lives and dies by the three.
Yeah, for sure.
You can't know what's about to happen in a Rosary game because they could go off and hit 5 of 7 in a quarter like they did in that game I covered last year. And then they could also go 0 for 12 in a quarter like they did in that game I covered last year.
Well, that's why I think the big thing for Poly is how healthy, how quickly Kalea Bugs can get. Because when they have been able to put in their full defensive game plan, the teams they've played, and I'm talking about the open division teams, have scored 20 points less than their season average when they've played Poly. They held Corona Centennial, which was an open division team, to under 30 points. They beat them 29-27. And I think they'll have, if they've got Kalea and they've got their full complement of perimeter defense, the ability to keep them from getting hot by not giving them any good shots. The problem, especially at home, obviously, the problem is if they don't have her, they're very different defensively because she can guard 1 through 5. So she allows them a number of rotations that they can't make if she's not in there, because you can't ask everyone to guard from a center to a corner three shooter. So I think that's going to be the big question for me. They were hopeful that she'd be back for the playoffs. I think that they're going to need her, obviously, in the open division.
Thursday action actually gets started a little bit early because the Millikan girls soccer team is hosting Jay Sarah in Division 1 at 3 p.m. on campus.
This is a Slugfest special, baby.
This is kicking off a big night of girls soccer here in the local area, but it is a rematch of last year's battle at Millikan after the Rams won their first and only Division 1 playoff game against La Mirada at home in an incredible penalty kick shootout. They were minutes, literally minutes away from going to another PK shootout against Jay Sarah at home in the second round when Jay Sarah found a late winner. And I usually don't do this because, like, they're high school kids, you know, things happen or whatever. But the Jay Sarah team, including their coaching staff, took a very, very, very long time making their way back to center field for the handshake after that playoff game last year, after their winner. Obviously, Millikan dejected. They felt like they had physically dominated Jay Sarah in the game, played exactly the game plan they needed to slow down one of the best teams in Southern California.
And best teams in the country.
Minutes away from the PK shootout and didn't get it. So they were standing there waiting. And Jay Sarah just was not in a hurry, dude. So I know for a fact head coach Tino Nunez remembers that because he and I talked about it after the game.
Right.
And is excited, let's just say, to have Jay Sarah back at Millikan's campus, not playing on field turf, ready to go old school, more league Long Beach girls soccer and mud it up a little bit. I'm excited.
I think if I'm Jay Sarah, obviously a very good team and quite a bit of success the last few years. I'm so furious with this draw. Because you and I know this, that Millikan team is at its best with a chip on its shoulder.
Without question.
I mean, when they come out and they're kind of pissed off a little bit to start the game, and Tino's pouring it all in their ear about, you know, no one believes in you, you know, this is what Wilson said about you.
That's why they were able to beat Pauly and Wilson in the first week of this season.
100%. Like, when they come out with that edge, I think that they're really, I mean, they're just a really special and a very different team. And, frankly, I don't think that there's any team other than Wilson and Poly that they'll need to do less to get that edge than this Jay Sarah team that, you know, that did a little bit of an underhanded thing at the end of the game last year.
We obviously have the coverage from last year. We
Whiniest fan base that I think has come to Long Beach in quite a while.
Sideline.
From what your reports were to me from that game,
if I
recall.
The sideline was unbearable. So we've got coverage from that game, obviously, at the562.org. We're going to have previews for all this stuff up at the website, so make sure you check that out, because we'll give you coverage of these teams from earlier in the year and information you're not going to find anywhere else. I do have to mention the other two Division One girls soccer teams, Wilson and Long Beach Poly. As we mentioned, they battled with Millikan this year. The Moore League girls soccer race ended up being just as interesting. maybe not as unpredictable, but just as interesting as the boys' race. And the boys' race was one of the craziest in history.
Yeah.
Because Milliken ends up winning it, but Wilson doesn't because of an upset against Pauly. And Pauly tied Milliken. Like, it was very, very close,
Pauly,
right?
So Pauly, as a third-place team, has this really positive end-of-season start. It's very weird, for sure.
Wilson has to go to Cypress, and Pauly has to go to Temecula Valley in the first round of this Division One. Now, obviously, Long Beach Soccer, a victim of its own success. Three teams in Division One for both boys and girls soccer here in Long Beach. That's impressive. It's the only sport in Long Beach that has that. And this is what happens when that happens. You play good teams in the first round, right? However, come on, man. Every year Long Beach has to go to a team like Cypress, a team that was a win away from a league title, just like Wilson was.
Yeah.
Unbeaten in its last eight games, won seven of its last eight games. Wilson has to go to them. Pauly has to go to Temecula Valley, the Southwestern League champions. Southwestern League, very good. They've only given up 14 goals in 24 games this year. They're one of the best teams in the bracket. So every year, Long Beach plays top 10 teams in the first round. I'm just saying,
you want to be the best.
There's more than 10 teams in the bracket. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
The point I would make is this. I think I said, like, 8 years ago, I said to you, we can have one of two things. We could have an exciting league championship race, or we can have a dominant team in league that gets rankings and brackets respect. You can't have both. And like we've seen that year after year, whether it's competitive equity or the old format, you said it. We had a three-team race for the league championship.
Trinity League football flies in the face of that logic.
Trinity League football is not comparable to anything happening in the Mormon.
I'm just saying it's possible.
Well, no, but not even then. Like, you had the third-place team from the Trinity League who's got to play a top-five team in the country in Corona Centennial or whatever, right? Like, the way that it is either you can have a Pauly Groves basketball, nationally ranked, you know, they're in a good league, where the team, Milliken and Wilson, are good in their division, but they don't have any trouble with anyone. And what do they get? They get a very nice playoff draw. Or you can
Milliken is playing the number six team in the poll.
Or
this
you
week.
Can have the number boys and girls
six
soccer
team, Mike,
where they beat each other up.
You're telling me a league champion, one of five league champions in the bracket, has to play the number six team in the bracket.
Yep.
That's tough logic for me.
Well, girls water polo had the same thing that Lakewood girls volleyball team did on the Division 1-2 split, which is a separate barrel of things. And I do have issues with that. But
I mean, that, what I was just about to say to you was,
But they weren't dominant enough in the CIF pool. Do you know what I mean? And they did. And to Barry O'Day's credit, they did play all those teams. You can't really argue with where they ended up getting seeded, even if I don't love the Division 1-2 split. Like, they played most of those top teams, and they're seeded where they're supposed to go. But I was going to say, if girls soccer fans feel like they got a tough playoff draw, boy, like, bust out the violin for girls water polo. The league champion, the thing I don't like about the 1-2 split that knocks it sideways, and where I think you have a better argument that league championships don't matter, is you win a league championship and you're on the road. And kind of a long way on the road, too, with Wilson traveling to Harvard Westlake. Pauly's got a tough road game as a third place team. Milliken, in the lowest division as the second place team, because they beat Pauly, gets the only home game against Marymount and gets the best bracket that they have. But that is the thing about the competitive equity. Like, they're saying, yeah, Wilson is way better than Pauly and Milliken, so they're going to be in this division. And where they stacked up against that division is basically where they got put, you know, as a road team in the first round.
Rounding out girls soccer, Lakewood is at Claremont, and St. Anthony hosting a wild card winner at Clark Field in the afternoon on Thursday. Like I said, I really like the Saints' chances of making a run in that bracket. So, all the previews, all the results, the Twitter updates, and everything for those playoff games, you're obviously going to find it at the562.org. We did want to mention the open division before we move on for basketball because it's wholly original.
This is the second year they've done the pool format. I liked it last year. We didn't have any teams in it, so we didn't really get to see it. We have two teams this year, but basically, take the idea of the March Madness bracket that is what all high school playoffs look like and kind of just throw it out of your head. What it is really just like an elite eight-team tournament. There's two four-team pools. Pool A, everyone plays each other. Pool B, everyone plays each other. The winning team at the end of the pool play from Pool A and Pool B play each other for the championship game, and that's how they break it out.
This
I like that so much better.
This is how they do the World Cup.
It's basically like the first two parts of the World
Cup. If you ever watched the World Cup, it's pool play.
Except that only one team advances out of group is the difference. You've got to be the pool A champ.
There's less
or the
teams.
Pool B champ. Right.
So yeah, less teams. Oh,
there's no third place game.
I don't want them to play that many games. I don't think. I think you do a round.
Three
you do a round number, right? You
three
do
is
a
great.
Round
Look,
number.
If you're a basketball coach and you book yourself into a tournament in Palm Springs, you're getting three games, right? Like, and then if you play well enough to get a championship game, you get that. But it's the same thing. Like, you made the open division, you're going to get the following things: three games that'll be good games, that'll be exciting, that people will be pumped up for. And you're going to get a guaranteed berth into the state playoffs. And unlike previous years, because this happened to the Poly girls team when they went down to a really small open division, they had to sit around for a week and a half in between the end of the regular season and the playoffs.
That's probably the biggest reason why they changed it.
Yes, and then another week and a half between the Southern Section playoffs and the state playoffs. So it was like they played one game in like a 17-day span, and Carl Buggs was like, you're punishing us for being one of the five best teams in Southern California.
To the CIF Southern Section's credit, they have stayed malleable when it comes to the playoffs because they originally started the CIF Playoff Equity brand in basketball.
Right.
Basketball was like the test case before they brought it to the other sports. So they've been moving basketball and changing basketball for the last 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, and basketball is still different from all the other sports in that it has an open division. Every other sport really has that Division I/II split.
Football's on its way to the open division.
Well,
on its way.
They'll never do it, though.
I think eventually they
will. I mean, you can make the point that doing it at the end of the year is kind of a de facto open division, but the difference is what's different for basketball that you will never see for football is there's an open division committee. There's Frank Burleson and some other writers who've seen every one of these teams 10 times and sits down and goes, those are the 8 best teams, and we're going to seed them out. And then you're going to put it out.
And
to
what makes you think football wouldn't get there eventually as the private schools continue to run roughshod over everybody in Division I?
Well, number one, the mathematical formula, the formula is already favor all the private schools in the Trinity League stuff anyways because of the strength of schedule in their league.
Yeah.
So there's no need to, quote unquote, opinionate it up. You know what I mean? Like, they're already getting that result out of having the computers. But the main difference between football and basketball is Frank Burleson can go to basketball tournaments every weekend and see 8 of the top 10 teams that are playing from Southern California in that one tournament. There's no way to do that with football because they all play at the same time.
So is that where the Long Beach bias comes from? That not enough people see Long Beach teams play?
There's no Long Beach bias. What do you mean?
I don't know, man.
We have 2 of the 16 open division teams.
I'm not just talking about basketball. I'm talking about all sports.
Oh, I would not say that I think that there's a Long Beach bias.
I think that it's a consistent situation where the Moore League champion isn't in the top 10.
So Moore League's not the Moore League's not very good right now in a lot of sports.
I'm just saying. It was like that when it was good too.
But who would you say should have been in the top 10 in their division that was a league champion that wasn't? That you felt looking at the other teams that they were better than those teams, like the Wilson girls water polo team. Like, it's all results based. They played all those teams that they're ranked below and they lost to those teams.
Yeah, I'm not just talking about this playoff draw. I'm talking about every playoff draw you and I have seen for the last 13 years. More often than not, we're like, oh, that's a really tough draw for them.
It's a tough draw, but I think that's more to do with how tough the division is. I don't think I've ever looked at a draw and gone like, oh, they didn't pay Milliken any respect.
I want Long Beach teams to be undervalued. I want them to be the underdog. All the great Long Beach championships you and I have covered, like even to a Poly football that's obviously a favorite. 2012 is my favorite Poly football championship because they were the underdog in every single game they played in that playoffs. I love the underdog style. I love the chip on the shoulder, like the way Long Beach State men's volleyball won that the first of two championships at UCLA.
They were not an underdog in
they
that
were the
game, though.
They played like the underdogs. They played
yeah,
like
the
underdogs.
Yeah, but they were the preseason favorites to win the national championship.
But you know what I'm saying? I wrote a whole column on it. Like, it's a style you play where you play like the dog. You don't go out there and expect things to happen. You go out there and take things.
Yes.
And there's like a style and an attitude in Long Beach like that. And that's our quote of the week this week. It comes from Long Beach Poly girls soccer captain Morgan King, who said in an article I was writing about how the girls soccer team and Captain Anaya Cutler have a certain swagger about them that you don't really see from high school soccer teams. And Morgan King said, quote, people from Long Beach are just different. We're mentally stronger and physically stronger than our opponents. And I think they can tell that, not only from our appearance, but from the way we carry ourselves. Nobody can match it. End quote.
Ah.
It's Beautiful, man.
It goes down smooth, that quote.
It's one of my all-time favorite Long Beach quotes because it really sums up what I was just talking about. It's that dog attitude. Like, we show up, when we get off the bus, people will notice. And it's not because we're loud, but it's because we're there and our presence speaks for itself.
Awesome quote.
It's really awesome. She went on to say that she thinks that the history at Poly also contributes to that. And I think she's also right. Like, there are probably a handful of high schools where you could go anywhere in the country and say the name of the high school and people are going to know what you're talking about. And Poly's obviously one of those. So it's not just football or basketball. Like, if you wear Poly on your shirt and you show up to any other Southern Section school, they're like, oh, I've watched your school play on TV before.
You and I have both had the opportunity to travel with, I would say especially Poly and Wilson, but there is a thing about Poly where, you know, you've gone up north with a football team. I've traveled a couple times with a football team. I was back east with a track team. It is different, particularly in those road atmospheres where, you know, that Poly track team in Philadelphia, they're celebrities because of the Penn Relays. And I mean, they're known in Philadelphia more than they're known in their own city. You know what I mean? Like, it's a very unique, weird thing. And yeah, that's very much the case. I traveled with the Poly girls soccer team when they had that thriller at Rancho Cucamonga a couple years ago. And the football team stopped their practice to watch the girls soccer team walking in. It's just, and like, you saw them whispering to each other and stuff, right? Like, it is a little bit different to come in and have that Long Beach on your chest.
Oh, high school boys stopped to watch high school girls walk by?
Shocker. Yeah, but it was like a, it was like
respect.
Like, oh, well, look how big that girl is. You know what I mean? Like, I think, it is definitely just a different respect level. I think there's something to that. Having just the word Long Beach on your chest is awesome.
Absolutely. I love those jerseys. Everybody has new jerseys every couple of years. I love the local high schools that just put Long Beach on the front. Okay, so that's our quote of the week. I think it's a perfect way to get into our list of the week, which is the best Long Beach quotes about Long Beach from Long Beach for Long Beach. It's like the 5-6-2 of Long Beach quotes. It's just for us,
okay,
and by us.
Okay. Yeah, I got it.
You know what I mean? And it's not the best one. It's the one you think of. Or if I said, oh, explain Long Beach in a quote. You know what I mean? Like, the first one I thought of when I thought of this list was a Sublime quote. Like, Sublime style, still straight from Long Beach. Or, well qualified to represent the LBC. Like, I knew Sublime songs and I knew about Long Beach before I ever considered coming to Long Beach State and living here.
Right, for sure. I think a unique thing about the city is that there's so much music that that represents it. You and I both are big Vince Staples fans, and he has a line about being a real Northside dude and says that he never went to Poly, Wilson, or Cabrillo. And I always thought, like, that's the perfect Long Beach line because it's like, he literally didn't go to those schools, and they still made their way into what ended up being like a top 20 radio hit. Like,
for years. Yeah. It didn't just get on the radio and then go away.
For sure.
It's hung around. Yeah, and he's just talking about the high schools from the Long Beach Unified School District.
Right.
That is pretty good.
Yeah. You got a Vince one on your list, too.
Oh, it's hard to pick, right? Like, yes. I wanted to get one rap lyric on my list. This one, it's special to me because when I hear it, I sing it, and when I sing it, I'm singing it about me and you. And it's a Vince Staples from his most recent EP, FM, and it goes, "Who done did it like I did it from the hometown? Started dead broke, but we on now." And it came out at a perfect time where you and I were just starting the 562.org, and it was that feeling like, yeah, man, we were just two college students from Long Beach State who thought that the Press Telegram should be better for local sports. Fast forward 14, 15 years later, and here we are. We started dead broke, but we're on now.
I've got the Dove Shack, Summertime in the LBC, which I would basically put that entire in the entire song.
Yes.
Obviously, but just the chorus, which I'm not going to sound out, but the chorus with Summertime in the LBC. Like, you could play that 7 seconds for me when I'm in New York and it's January 15th and it just snowed a foot. And I could close my eyes and be at a park in Long Beach like that, just immediately.
The power of music, my man. The power of music. I've got one that's from a movie star that's not a music lyric, but that really, really defines to me if somebody were to explain why, like, Long Beach is different from L.A. or why Long Beach is different from Orange County. And this would be the quote, right? I'm going to tell you who said it after I'm done. Quote, "When I was 8, I would look at the cover of the Ghost Rider comic book in my little home in Long Beach, California, and I couldn't get my head around something so scary that could also be good. To me, it was my first philosophical awakening. How is this possible? This duality. And that quote is from the one, the only, Nicolas Cage. One of my favorite, you're doing way too much, no, wait, that's perfect, actors of all time. And the reason why I love this quote so much is because he's right. How is this possible? This duality. This city of Long Beach that is both, the suburbs and the slums. The city of Long Beach that has so many different neighborhoods up against each other. It's like we always say, it's like 10 small towns in one big city. How is it possible, this duality, that I could read a quote by Nicolas Cage in the build-up to that horrible movie Ghost Rider, and it ends up being about Long Beach? Like, how is it that Long Beach is just dipped into everything?
You're not a Ghost Rider fan?
Not that movie. No, my friend. But I'm a huge Nicolas Cage fan. I'm a huge fan of duality, and I'm a huge fan of Long Beach. And they're all within this one quote that I just read super randomly, but I never forgot it. I did have to look it up to get the wording correctly, but I knew for sure he used the word, how is this possible? This duality.
I think you're aware of this, but the little home in Long Beach, California that he refers to was on Hackett Street, which was two streets over from the street that Ryan and I grew up on, Ladoga. Because as you know, in the suburbs in Long Beach, it's alphabetized because they didn't want to come up with names. So it was Hackett, and then it was Knoxville, and then it was Ladoga. So when Ryan and I read the story in the Press Telegram before, I think Gone in 60 Seconds, someone from the Press Telegram interviewed him about his childhood in Long Beach before, you know, he's Francis Ford Coppola's nephew, right? Like, he moved up to Hollywood, he went to Beverly Hills High, all this other stuff. But his childhood was in Long Beach, and there's a story that one of his neighbors, who's one of my neighbors, on Hackett Street, remembered him for Halloween dressing up as a vampire and going around and actually biting people when he was like 6 years old or something.
Nice.
And it's like that happened on the street that I used to trick or treat on.
His method.
As a kid. Yeah.
His method, Mike.
My last quote is coming from Now Is the Time by Big Trey D off the album Deuces and Trays, The Old Fashioned Way. One of my favorite albums of all time. West is the coast, east is the side. Long Beach is the city where them gangsters ride. Money brings power, power brings respect. Disrespect the set, I gots to grab the tech. Poetry.
We're going to hit on this real quick because we've been giving you your Lakers-Clippers update, and it's All-Star Weekend for the NBA, as it has been since the beginning of the season when we told you Lakers are better than the Clippers. Still the case. Lakers first in the Pacific Division with 40 wins, only 12 losses, and the Clippers are 37-16. Clippers have won 4 of their last 5, so have the Lakers. So they're both kind of where we thought they'd be right now.
The Lakers are further ahead than where I thought they'd be,
really?
To be honest with you, because I didn't think that LeBron and AD would have played as many games as they have.
I'll give you this. I didn't think that LeBron and AD would be able to survive a first half of the season injury like they did with AD sitting out and still play as well
out. Like what felt like a long time for him to be out. Like I think he's played 45 of the 52 games. Like I would have had the under on that, as I think we discussed before the season. No, I didn't think the Lakers would have 4 games on everybody going into the All-Star break. And I will say I've watched a lot of NBA basketball this year. I've seen the top 7 teams in the West pretty regularly. I just think it's going to be a Lakers-Clippers Western Conference Finals.
I think everybody thinks that.
I genuinely don't see any other outcome, and I think that that's the championship. I really don't. As great as the Bucks have been, I just don't see any other outcome than
Jordan Bell not going to be the difference in Houston? Take him back to the
Memphis
championship?
He's already moved again. Yes, he's in Memphis now. No, I mean, I like Houston's move. I mean, like, if you're small, you may as well try and go small. But I think that's going to work against the Lakers or Clippers? No. I just don't. You know, I mean, I think this will be it. Been very impressed with the job that both teams have done keeping people healthy. The Lakers
did want to bring up load management.
Lakers have done a great job of load managing LeBron in games that he's playing in. He played last night. They blew the Suns out. He played 30 minutes. They got him out of the game. They still won, right?
Yeah.
Like that, I think that kind of load management is almost more important than taking the second night of a back-to-back off.
Well, yeah, but because that adds up, right? That adds up. Bron has played 50 games. He's averaging almost 35 minutes per game. Kawhi Leonard has played 40 games, and he's averaging 32 minutes per game. Those extra 3 minutes, that's like a game every month and a half.
Right.
LeBron is playing an extra game than Kawhi every month and a half. So, yeah, the minutes played, I feel like, is almost as important as how many games you're playing, because it's the grind during the game that affects you the next day.
It's the only thing I don't like about the Lakers is that they've let a lot of teams they were blowing out back into the game. And it, like, you just like to see Bron and AD routinely check out at the end of the third quarter and then not come in at all.
Hey,
and
that's the only way the other guys are going to get any better.
I know. No, for sure. I mean, and it's been necessary, and I think you can see that improvement in some games. I just think, by the way, the one last thing I want to mention about this, and everyone I think knows that we're both Lakers fans, like, the Lakers lose a tough game to the Rockets where the Rockers throw kind of a junk lineup at them and are able to knock them off their game, and oh, the Lakers should blow it up even though they're still in the first in the West. You know, like, they have to sign Darren Collison. They have to do all this stuff. They're still the first team in the West by four games.
Right.
The Clippers go out and lose the next night to the Grizzlies by like 40 points. And you don't hear word one about it. Because at the end of the day, there's still not that many Clippers fans. There's still no Clipper media. And the expectations are just still Clippers-like for them. I thought that was, like, outrageous that no one's going, oh, the Clippers, like, they better solve this problem. It's just like, oh, well, you know, we'll see what happens in the playoffs. But for the Lakers, every one of those 12 losses is, like, a disaster.
Is it possible for LeBron James to win the MVP this year? He's very close to averaging a triple-double.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fading. I think I think he should be higher in the power rankings on that and the betting lines just because of the leading the league in assists for the first time. But
it's going to be Giannis.
It just seems like it's going to be Giannis again. And now, that being said, everything that happens between February 12th and the end of the season is twice as important as everything that's happened. And, like, the last 30 games are twice as important as the first 52 games. Everyone starts paying attention at the All-Star break. If the Lakers come out and they win 15 games in a row and he's averaging a triple-double in that time, he could probably still end up as the MVP.
Even if AD is still getting 26-9-3 a game?
Yeah, because I
like
think
those could also be right, MVP numbers.
For sure. They should be both like two of the top five or six. You know, I think that Bron's been really smart because his statistical jump has been an assist. AD's success is almost a credit to Bron that it's like, look how he was willing to take a scoring backseat to this new guy and, you know, become more of a passer and everything.
That's it. That's all. There ain't no more. Another episode of What Up Long Beach being put into the books. Before we get out of here, we do our non-sports recommendation. Mine's easy. Mike and I actually had a moment with this CD like 10 years ago. It's called Viva La Vida. It's by Coldplay. Neither of us are Coldplay fans, but this one album, and I don't know which song it was on it that like we liked.
Yeah.
But we started listening to this album while we were driving to games and stuff. And for whatever reason, I turned it on the other day. There are a few songs on there that are unlistenable. They
yeah,
are bad,
yeah,
like
sure.
Coldplay songs.
Coldplay songs.
But the other nine tracks are like Coldplay doing their Beatles Arcade Fire impersonation.
Yeah, which
and it's
is
phenomenal.
Good. They do it. They're great. They do a great job at that impersonation.
Really good.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, I'll have to reach back in time and check that out.
It's a forgotten
CD. Should I recommend
CD.
Kings of Leon then? my recommendation is going to be Ragtime at the Carpenter Center. Went with Shar, our friend Tyler and his girlfriend Sarah, and our friends John and his sister Lauren. Shar and Tyler, both of their favorite musical is Ragtime. Super depressing, heartbreaking, but like incredible musical. And the performance that Musical Theater West is doing through the end of the month at the Carpenter Center is very, very good. Like, much better than you would have expected it to be. My wife is like still raving about it and trying to get all her friends to go so she can see it again. But if you are a musical theater person, I definitely recommend checking that out.
All-time favorite musical, huh? Do you have an all-time favorite musical?
Probably Book of Mormon, which probably doesn't surprise you in the slightest.
Yeah, not at all.
Like South Park the Musical. Yeah. But I don't know. I actively hated musicals for the first 18 years of my life. And my wife got into sports and I got into musicals. So when we started going out, we were 18. I like them a lot. We go to the Segerstrom. We have season tickets with some of those same friends, as well as our friend Chris Trevino and his girlfriend down there. So I don't know. It's been cool. Like we've seen Hamilton, like we've seen all the big ones that have come out recently. I generally like it. It's like just so different from the way that I normally get entertainment that something happening live just has like a different kind of an energy to it.
Plenty of live entertainment for Long Beach sports fans coming up this weekend all over the place. You're going to find all the coverage at the 562.org. Shout out again to Long Beach Post for having us for this. the show, our weekly 5-minute rundown of the local sports stories, video style, and also the college and high school notebooks. For Mike and for JJ and for everybody else at the 562.org, we will see you in the stands this weekend, Long Beach. Take care.